Before we leave here tonight, we need an apostolic supernatural explosion that's going to literally shake this place. Now, we have a right to say that, and we have a right to expect that, because we are a Book of Acts church. And we are too great of a people to limit ourselves to just being an ordinary church. If Satan can stir a city, and if Satan can have a revival, this Holy Ghost, Jesus name church can do more than the devil ever thought about doing. For where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Toronto, Canada, the capital city of this province of Ontario, holds all the wonders of the world. It is the largest English-speaking theater district, rivaled only by New York and London. It is the home of 4 professional sports teams. It is the home of more than 80 ethnic communities. It is also the business center of Canada. Toronto should be a major revival center of the world. And there is no greater mission field in the world than this great population. And before we leave here tonight, there's going to be more people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name after this church has visited this city. The United Pentecostal Church International should come behind in no gift or any religious group or cult in taking our cities for God. The Governor General of Canada addressed a special convocation not long ago at the University of Toronto. And in his message, the leader of this nation said, "We are face to face with a problem so grave and so tragic. It is so cosmic that we shall not be able to cope with it, but much less solve it. If we have recourse to modern means and methods only." My message to that leader and my message to you at the last day of the 79th conference of the United Pentecostal Church International is this, and it is my subject: we need an unorthodox revival. We cannot do what we've got to do if we have recourse to human means and methods only. For man's reach, as extensive as it is limited. We need a supernatural, sovereign, unorthodox revival to reap the great harvest. We have had pockets of revival with unbelievable results, but there are too many cities yet without a Book of Acts soul-winning revival center church. We, as the United Pentecostal Church, we cannot stand still or we will slip backwards. We must go forward together now. This unorthodox generation deserves an unorthodox revival. Listen to me carefully, please. The word orthodox simply means conventional or standard. It involves doing all the right things. I must admit, and let me be very clear, I like to be orthodox. I like carefully prepared sermons. I like to know when I hear a man preach that he has been reading, that he has been studying, that he's got something in his brain as well as something in his heart. I love well-run services as this general conference has been put together. I spend hours preparing a sermon and I spend hours preparing to run because of the times. I like being orthodox. I also like the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It is very orthodox. It is the living body of truth. It is the apostolic doctrine. It belongs to the saints of the 21st century. It is very orthodox. It is absolute. It will not change. It is non-negotiable. It is forever established. Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidence with speaking with other tongues, and separation from the world. That is orthodox, and that will never change. It's not a spare time. It's not something you want to do if you choose to. It is the new birth experience. It's the way you're born again. It's the way you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank God for an orthodox doctrine. Jesus Christ was very orthodox in His doctrine and in His eternal values. But He was very unorthodox in the redemption business. Orthodoxy in procedure is killing us. Well, the amen's left. Because I established our orthodoxy, and now I'm talking about what we're supposed to be unorthodox in, and you've gone quiet, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Our orthodox forms and our ruts that we're in, our Sunday school classes that Sunday school teachers are more concerned over cookies and Kool-Aid than having an apostolic move of God in the Sunday schools. We need something unorthodox. We need something that is unconventional. We need something that we haven't done in the last 100 years. We need an invasion of apostolic power to hit our churches and hit our Sunday schools with an apostolic revival. Business as usual is the epitaph on 1,000 of our dead churches. Multiplied thousands of spiritually deceived believers who have taken on the motto in our churches, come will or woe, my status is quo. It is sad that many dead, lifeless, prayerless, dormant, fruitless Sunday schools in our cities and towns and communities. We do not have enough to hardly turn the lights on in some of our major cities, let alone shake an entire state or city. We need an unorthodox apostolic revival. We keep saying this is the greatest hour of the church, and I believe that. But what in the world are we doing with the greatest hour of the church? We have been placed in a global harvest field. When you come up, it's green. Then it turns golden, but then it turns white. He said, look on the fields, for they are white. When a grain gets white, it is just before ruining. Right before the rapture. Right before this world being destroyed by the vials and the trumpets and the seals. I've got a word for you. There is going to be an unorthodox, apostolic, Holy Ghost revival that's going to help us reach the harvest. I'll just act like I'm preaching Alexandria this morning. We're preaching a dried up. Some are dying spiritually. They're sitting on our pews. They have no joy. Sunday school teachers with no joy. Preachers and preachers' wife with no joy. Everything about church has become dead, dry, dull, and boring. And it's produced a lifeless Pentecostal church. And there is nothing worse than a dead, lifeless, United Pentecostal church. We can't fight riots and crime and religious apostasy and racial unrest and fear and immorality and teenage alcoholics and drug addicts with dead churches. We need something to get a hold of we preachers and wives today. We need something to get a hold of a Sunday school teacher today that is an apostolic anointing that can change our church. We need a red hot unorthodox Shatolaboyandaha apostolic divine. I was told about one church that was so dead, nothing could resurrect it. Until a bee stung the pianist, she jumped up screaming. It electrified the crowd and the revival broke out. Let me get a little carnal, but Ray Stevens wrote a song one time about the Mississippi squirrel. A squirrel got loose in a dead Baptist church and they had revival. I don't care whether it's a bee or whether it's a squirrel, but we need to turn something loose in our churches. We need to get something apostolic moving. We need to get the joy of the Lord back in our congregation. We need to get the power of the Holy Ghost operating. I say today we leave this service orthodox in doctrine, but unorthodox in apostolic revival. We've gotten into our ruts, every one of us. I'm preaching to myself. I can tell you what they're doing in Alexandria right now unless they're having an unorthodox service. We're going to open with praise. We're going to sing two or three songs. We're going to take prayer requests. We're going to take the offering. Choir's going to sing. Then the preacher's going to preach. I'm telling you, that won't get it. Somewhere in between all that singing, somewhere between all that preaching, there better be some apostolic power for the blind eyes opening up, for the deaf ears being unstopped, for the lame is getting up and walking. Apostolic revival. That day of Pentecost church, it spread from Samaria, Caesarea, Philippi, it spread to Ephesus, it spread to Rome, where Paul snatched them out of Caesar's household. On the day of Pentecost, that unorthodox revival spread to the utmost parts of the world. This church, the United Pentecostal Church, cannot stand still. Any more than Walmart or General Motors. This church is going forth as bright as the sun, as fair as the moon, and as terrible as an army with banners. God, give us an unorthodox revival. Oh, I'm going to remain. I want to declare to all the young preachers, I know where I stand. I'm remaining orthodox in doctrine. In these final hours, God's looking for a faithful people. He's looking for adamant people that's got convictions, that's loyal to the Lordship of Christ and one God, who will stand firm through unshakable times, holding fast to the Word of God, refusing to be jostled into fairy tale theology by any other religion. He wants somebody that is orthodox in message and in dress. We're tired of trying to put this ark on a new cart. You can't put this ark on a new cart. It didn't work for David and Israel, and it won't work for us. There is only one way to carry this. All right, you better put it on your shoulders. One man dropped dead. And I'm going to tell you something else. We don't need to be looking into the ark. The revival I'm preaching about, you don't have to go messing with what's in the ark. Those people went and looked, Brother Jones, what was inside the ark. When they did, Brother Keys, 53,000 of them died. Let me tell you, young ministers and wives, don't mess with the ark. Repentance still there. Baptism in Jesus' name is still there. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is still there. The body of God in Christ is still there. to have the revival I'm talking about. We don't have to change our doctrine. We don't have to change our dress. We've just got to yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost for an apostolic move of God. Paul said, put this on, David. David said, I can't put that on. I cannot go with the things I haven't tried. He said, I've got to use the things that I have proven. And the thing that I have proven is, I have been baptized in a name that is above every name. The thing that I have proven is, I have been filled with the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. The thing that I have been proven with is that I've got the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no devil that can stop me. There is no gate of hell that can hinder me. There is nothing that can stop an apostolic, orthodox doctrine church with an unorthodox revival. Nothing can stop. Our music can't take the place of His Majesty. Our money won't fulfill the mercy seat. We must have Holy Ghost power. And the thing I prayed for when I was preaching, if you don't remember nothing else I said, I hope every one of us leave here talking in tongues today. I don't care if you've held credentials with this organization for 90 years. I don't care if you've had the Holy Ghost 200 years. I don't care if you've been in the way for 500 years. Everything here ought to talk in tongues before they leave this arena with a fresh apostolic fire. Unorthodox. There's some seed money right there. Go ahead. Brother Shatwell, plant some seed. We're going to get that offering anyway. Surely nobody's sitting down right now. I mean, surely you can shout over talking in tongues. Comes apostolic revival right there. That's the way the whole thing breaks. Somebody go put their money where their mouth is. It's apostolic revival. My God, Brother Haney, see what happens when the Holy Ghost starts moving? Well, come on, pour it up here. I'm going to preach in a minute. We don't have another service to get us off here.
I want to pledge $1,000 to the Sunday school department.
Here comes apostolic revival. Hey, lay hands on somebody. Talk in tongues right now. Go ahead. Come on, just lay hands on somebody and talk in tongues right now. Come on, young couples. Put on everything in the building. Talk in tongues right now. That's it. Let the river flow from your innermost being. Something's going to happen before we leave this place today. Somebody's going to be healed. Somebody's going to be delivered from depression. Somebody's going to be set free. This is an unorthodox Sunday morning service at General Conference. That's it. Minister to one another all over this place. Look at our missionaries. God bless you, Brother Navaki. This is apostolic. Nobody even mentioned giving, but this is an unorthodox revival! Go ahead, sister. She gave her dollars and talking in tongues. This is unorthodox.
This is apostolic. This is New Testament style. This is when the Holy Ghost takes an offering. If we learn to do it this way, there will never, ever be a lack of finance to preach the gospel to the world.
You just keep a coming, but I got to preach. Does anybody care if I preach? I'm just in the middle of my message. You know that Nineveh had revival. Jonah the prophet had just been vomited out of one whale of an experience. He hit the streets of the world capital that day. He preached one sermon. It was 8 words long. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The entire city experienced a revival from the king on down. It was an unorthodox revival. If Jonah can have that kind of revival, a Jesus name apostolic Holy Ghost filled preacher can go in amongst the Ninevites and have an apostolic revival. Let me tell you something. Hear me. I don't care how good you can preach. I don't care how good you can organize. I don't care how good you can communicate. When you get doing all of that, that's still flesh. And the Lord looked at a man, one person, and preach the message we live on. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. And if you go on your oratory ability, or how good the choir can sing, or how good you can organize, or how good you can communicate, you're only going to get what flesh can produce. But if we ever plug in to the Holy Ghost and fire, we're going to get what the Holy Ghost can produce. There are more Buddhists than Baptists. There are more Muslims than Methodists. And there's more Catholics than Pentecostals. If we discount this divine power, if we throw away this authoritative apostolic ministry, we'll never have the revival we preached about. Today I have come here to declare it is time we loose the hands of the apostles in this organization. It's time that we loose the hands of the prophets in this organization. It's time that we loose the hands of the gifts of the Spirit in this organization. We need an invasion of Holy Ghost power. We've held back on the Holy Ghost long enough. We sit around, what is that of God or is that of... We don't have time to be putting a thermometer nor a gauge on what's what. Yes, we have to try the Spirit. Yes, God said, watch a thing. And if it's not a meat, deal with it. But in us doing all of our watching, we have missed some of the most powerful invasions of the Holy Ghost that God wants to give us. In the name of Jesus, I loose the gifts of the Spirit in this congregation today. I loose apostolic authority on our pastors and preachers. I loose the fresh authority in this congregation today. I loose it. Let the gifts fall on us. Let the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of tongues, the gifts of interpretation, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, let there be a prophetic voice rise among us. You wouldn't have heard me preach this way a year ago. But when I got through, when I got prayed through, our church started getting prayed through. And I decided I wasn't going to just be an orthodox pastor. I decided I was going to see the miraculous of God. I want to see Aaron's rod bud again. I want to, you talking about an orthodox? Get out and march. What are you marching about? The walls are coming down. You talking about something unorthodox when they're marching around the walls? What are you doing? I'm just doing what God told me to do. I'm believing there's going to be an unorthodox revival that's going to come. And the Bible said the walls fell flat. If you would have asked the pastor, boy, get this one in the United States Church. Oh, get this one. You talking about some board meetings? Get this one. What are you following? What things has headquarters put out for you? Well, I'm not following any of that. What are you following? I'm following a cloud. When are you going to move? I'm going to move when that cloud moves. That's pretty unorthodox. What are you doing out there? I'm following a cloud. Come here, Brother Haynes. Come here, Brother Jones. Come here, Brother Keith. There's a dry well right here. Come here. This is a dry well. Come here, my secretary. Come here, my assistant. God got the elders, and he said, get around that well. And he said, I want you to sing a song. He said, spring up, oh well, spring up. Randy, you quote it. We'll sing it. Okay.
I got you here.
He's my buddy. Come on, Dad, get in here with us. Spring up, oh well, spring up.
Oh well.
That's pretty unorthodox. That's not turned with me to Acts 4, whatever. It was just, I don't know much, but God said if I'd seen to it, that there'd be a gush of water come out of it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start singing to have a dead situation. Spring up, oh church, spring up. Spring up, oh revival, spring up. Israel was surrounded, Brother Magruder. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, God, we don't have our sword and our shield. God said, I don't want you to use any of that. That's orthodox. That's what they have. I want you to do something unorthodox. I want you to get some trios. I want you to get some quartets. I want you to get some children choir. I want you to get the Magruders. And I want you to sing. Now, he didn't tell them how to sing. I'm sure some of them sang black gospel. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Well, I don't like the way he sings. Well, God didn't ask you to like the way he sings. Now, I'm sure the young people probably sang like this. Praise ye the Lord for the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord for the mercy. That's not my style, but I want them singing. He didn't tell them how to sing. He just come down that mountain singing. Praise ye the Lord for the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Yeah, I know what's going to light the fire in this congregation. Here's the song that most of you love to sing. Praise ye the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. I don't care whether it's country. I don't care whether it's black gospel. I don't care whether it's contemporary. Just get your voice up. Get your tambourine. Get your drums a-going. It's time to sing. Like the church down the road. Well, the Lord sent 30,000 home for one man. Said, all you need is 300 men. Make sure they can lap water like a dog, and they'll take care of the Midianites. And the last time I read this book, it was a little meal and a little oil and a little lad and a little maiden and a little ark with a little bee in it floating in the Nile River that led an entire nation out of the land of Egypt. Orthodox Holy Ghost revival. God has chosen. Everybody say, God! Not Brother Haney, who's casting a great vision, but the foolish thing, the weak thing, the base things. And yea, even the things that are not. God can take a not and do more than the devil can do with things. So you know all we need to do in this room today is we need to let go of our things and we need to pick up His things. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the things that are not, and have revival! Unorthodox. Ehud said, I'm going to visit King Eglon. He went in before the king. I don't do him that way. I'll take care of you. He went in for the king, and the king was watching the right hand, because that's orthodox. And he said, if any man's going to kill me, he's going to take that right hand, reach to his left hip, unsheath the sword, and he said, when he does, I'll whack him to pieces. But what he didn't know was Ehud was an orthodox. So when he was looking for orthodoxy, three songs, a prayer, tithes and offerings, preach and go home, Ehud unsheathed with a left hand. And he read that 18-inch dagger so deep that the junk ran out of him. And the Bible said the land had rest for 40 years. It was an unorthodox revival. Yeah. I didn't know he was going to come up here. But this is an unorthodox fellow right here. No, I can't let that hand go, Daddy. They know what you're going to do, and that's orthodox. Look with that hand over there. There you go. I'd been pastoring about 4 years. We'd been in Sunday school, and it came out for 11 o'clock worship service, and I had my tie and my suit all ready. I was walking up the platform, and he said, you go sit down. I said, well, I'm pastor. He said, I said for you to sit down. He said, I got a message for this church. He said, not that you hadn't been preaching, but I got a message. And my dad, he said, I don't want no choir up here. I don't want nothing up here. We're not having revival in this church like we should be having revival. And I'm telling you, we're not going nowhere else until you get off of your pews and get to praising God. Now, back in the 50s and the 60s, they used to laugh at my mom and daddy. They didn't think my dad could preach. And he's one of the best preachers there is. But I want to tell you something. We didn't have dead church in Alexandria. Brother, if we walked in there, people were frowning and nothing was moving. He told Mother, get your accordion on. He got a tambourine in his hand. He said, Vesta, you take that aisle, and I'm taking that aisle. But one thing we're going to do, we're not going to have dead church. We're going to have an unorthodox apostolic revival. And whatever Alexandria is, yes, it is because of prayer and fasting. But it's also because I had a pastor that said, I won't have business as usual. I'm not going to have church as usual. I'm going to have the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to have an apostolic Holy Ghost revival. He not only preached the apostolic doctrine, he made us put an apostles doctrine on every door in Alexandria. That's how much he believed it. My daddy preached hell so hot on Sunday night that I could smell my own hair burning. He preached the coming of the Lord back in the 50s and the 60s. That I was on my tiptoes just doing like this. I just knew the Lord was going to come. I didn't even do my homework because I knew the Lord was going to come before Monday morning. It was unorthodox. Dad preached the mark of the beast so hard that when our school class went to the city park to see the animals, they stamped our hand with colors to know what color bus you were on. I always made them put it on my left hand instead of my right hand. I didn't want any mark getting on my right hand or on my forehead because Dad said that's where you're going to take the mark of the beast. It was an unorthodox revival. But I tell you what, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, we were having apostolic Holy Ghost revival because I had a mama and a daddy that were left-handers. I woke up just a few months ago and we'd been in that great revival. And I looked the 1st of May and our baptisms were down and people were frowning. Some couples were headed for the civil court. And I said, what's going on here? So I called our ministry team into my home in the month of May. I said, we're either going to have apostolic revival or I'm out of here. I can't stay around dead churches. I don't care if we do have a few thousand people here. I used to start over every 3 weeks in the evangelistic field. I'll go start over again. But I ain't going to sit here and babysit people that don't want apostolic Holy Ghost revival. So I called a solemn assembly on June the 4th. And I said, I thank God for this church. I thank God that you're what you are. You were first in foreign missions given. You were first in She's for Christ given. You were first in Christmas for Christ given. You were second in Save Our Children offering. You're in the top three in ever given of the United Pentecostal Church. I thank God for this building. Everything is paid for, but that is nothing. David pitched a tent, but the ark wasn't there. And the tent and the building and the numbers and the money is nothing but tent. If you're going to have apostolic revival, you've got to get the ark on the inside of that tent. I told that church, we need everything in here filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of you hadn't smiled in weeks. Some of you hadn't spoken to other people in the church because of your stinking feelings. You've got your attitude on your shoulder. We can't have apostolic revival with you talking about everybody else's kids and everybody else's marriages and everybody else's problem. If Alexandria is going to have revival, it's going to be when we pray and fast and have an unorthodox move of the Holy Ghost. Out of that one man caught the vision. He went to Little Rock, Arkansas. He talked to his first cousin. Her name is Janice Gilstrand. And Janice got a hold of Jason and said, Jason, you're paddling your wheels in a great church down there. And God's ready to use you. He came back to me. He said, Pastor, you just tell me what I'm going to do. I said, Jason, you sell everything in the country. He's the one that invented Church View. Jason Tackett, not Al Gore. Jason Tackett invented Church View. He built, what am I trying to say for the computer? He built a program for the computer. He started winning souls. 3 weeks ago, he had 20 couples in his home. He walked out of a store in the middle of all that, and there was a man sitting on the curb, unorthodox. He said, sir, looks like you got a lot on your mind. He said, I do. He said, can I have a Bible study with you? He said, yes. He said, well, I want to teach you a Bible study. He went and taught him two studies. He left and was to take his wife on a trip. When he got home, he said, Denise, is everything packed? She said, yes. He said, hold on just a minute. I'll be right back. She said, where are you going? He said, I'll call you in just a few minutes. He got in his car and he left. And he went back to that man's house. He walked in. He said, sir, I'm getting ready to leave. But God spoke to me and said, before I leave, he's going to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Jason reached over and laid hands on him. And in the living room of his house, God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Unorthodox revival. He was teaching a Bible study 3 weeks ago, and there was a bunch of people there. This lady said, I'm an atheist. He said, I'm so glad you're here. He said, but God's going to do something for you. He got to teaching that study, and he turned to Denise and said, Denise, how do you know what your husband is saying is true? She said, because my sister was killed tragically in an automobile accident. And she said, I could go no further. But when I was in prayer, there was a wind that began to blow through that room. And every pain I felt was blown out that room. That's how I know. She said, I need that experience. And in the living room of Jason Tackett, he laid hands on that atheist 3 weeks ago. And God baptized her with the Holy Ghost and with fire. One of our men, 2 weeks ago, how ironic all this is, going down 28 on a motorcycle, lost control of his motorcycle. He crashed it. He was all broken up. The ambulance drivers got there. His arm, everything was shattered. And they got him and was putting him in the ambulance, and Jason drove up. He said, that's Byron Couples. He said, policeman, I got to get to Byron Couples. He said, please let me get to Byron Couples. They said, no, we can't let you get to Byron Couples. He said, that's a man of my church. He said, I can't help it. He's in the ambulance already. He's leaving here. So the policeman turned and walked away. When he did, Jason ran behind the policeman. He banged on the ambulance door. They opened the door. He said, I got to get in there. He laid hands on Byron Couples. When they got him to the hospital, there was not one broken bone in that body. It's an unorthodox revival. It's an unorthodox revival. That's the kind of revival that's going to hit the United Pentecostal Church. It's going to happen in the malls. It's going to happen on the street corners. It's going to happen in the neighborhoods. We're going to pray them through in our homes. Church is going to be a place to go from, not come to. It's going to be an apostolic revival, Brother Jordan. It's going to be an apostolic revival. Last Friday, I got off of the plane from preaching my cousin's funeral, only for my secretary to call and tell me, Pastor, get to the hospital. Jason has been in a four-wheeler accident. And on my way to the hospital, they called me and said, Jason has been promoted to the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance. And this past Monday at 11 o'clock, I took a soul winning. I had a whole bunch more, God, I could have given you. And I know they're saved. They're good people, Lord. They pay their tithes. They're at church every time, God. And now they're just sitting there. And I know you know what you're doing, God, but this kid had just turned on to you. And you must have saw something I couldn't see, Lord. But thank you for giving me Jason for 3 months. Thank you that he showed other couples that it can be unorthodox. Thank you that he showed me it doesn't have to be in church for it to happen. Thank you for letting me know it can happen in the back of an ambulance. It can happen in a home. It can happen anywhere. Thank you for letting me know that. A 4-star general of Israel's army, and I am through, willingly offered himself unto the Lord. And when he did, there were 200 mighty men of Baalah that offered themselves to the Lord. When Amaziah said, God, here I am, there were 200 mighty men in this congregation. I feel like that you are going to join with me. If there is an evangelist and his wife, if there is a pastor and his wife, 200,000 we may not have, but if everyone in this room that propagates the gospel will run up here on this platform and say, you can count on me for an unorthodox Holy Ghost revival, I'm going to be a part of it. Get up here as fast as you can get up here. Come on. Look at us, devil. Come on out of the balcony. It's an unorthodox revival. It's an unorthodox revival. This is the district superintendent of Arkansas.
We're going to do it in Arkansas.
Every
tongue confess.
An unorthodox revival.
Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Look at us.
For
look
every
at us, devil.
Knee shall bow. Every tongue confess.
Jesus Christ.